All right, who's kicking us off? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Mine's a happy Monday.
Yeah, Larry, tell us about it. You had a you had a contract on Thursday you were working on. Where are we at?
Yep, I went and signed it this afternoon, and then I got the paperwork, took the earnest money to the attorney, sat down with the attorney, talked about it, and then talked to my wholesale buyers. He's got two prospective buyers and a real estate agent that's got a retail buyer, but it don't matter to me. I'm gonna do the assignment on it, get it clean, get it out of there, and let them make their money too.
Yeah, so tell us, remind us what you have it for, and then what do you think you can sell it for or assign it for, either one.
Okay, I have it. It's a 1,800 square feet upstairs, potential is another 1,000, 1,200 downstairs if it was fixed up. Needs $50,000 or less retail for renovation. And the ones that I'm trying to sign it to can do it a whole lot cheaper than I could subcontract it out, so they got a better potential. It'll sell for $220,000. I picked it up for $143,500, and I'm selling it to them at $150,000, and they pay all closing and all those costs. I just get $6,500 and walk away clean.
Do you have anybody yet that said I'll take it at $150,000?
Yeah. But I think he's got two or three other investors along with himself.
Okay.
And so he's just trying to figure out if he can get, you know, if he wants to do it himself or he wants to do it with his partner.
Okay. Do you have earnest money from that buyer yet and paperwork in place, or you just have a verbal?
I have a verbal. It's no, you know, I'm not worried about it. There's enough buyers out there that I understand here that's shown interest in it. And, you know, I just told these two, when we get back, and I had to let this one particular person, he's going to have to do the due diligence, go in there, do measurements, do all of that shit. And since I'm not going to be doing that, that's why I've given him first shot at it.
Gotcha. So when do you leave on vacation?
This Thursday. 7th.
That's what I thought. So you got to have, we got to have this sucker tied up. Non-refundable, what are you going to request non-refundable earnest money?
Okay. That I'm going to have to just play fluid. You know, the one thing I will do is we've got $5,000 earnest money to the original homeowner.
Yeah, that's a chunk.
That I'll get back, and then I'm going to try to work a sliding scale. If I don't get any money up front for my assignment fee, then I'm going to try to add more to it. Say, if you wait till the end, this is more. But that's just as a matter of figuring it out.
How long is your inspection period with the buy, with the seller?
10 days.
Okay, so this thing is going to go. Here's how you have to play this. Is there a real estate agent involved, or there is not? There used to be, but there's not, right? You're going direct to seller?
Yeah, directly to the seller. There's no real estate agent involved.
Okay. A couple things I'm going to throw in here. Longer inspection periods, and here's what you're going to have to do. You're five, and that's a chunk. $5,000 is a chunk of money. Your earnest money is hard in 10 days from today, right?
Correct.
Okay. And you're going to be on vacation when that date expires. And so you have got to have $6,000 earnest money, non-refundable, from your end buyer before you leave town. Or this is or you've got some money at risk. Or let me ask you this. If you can't find an end buyer, do you have a plan B where you're going to take this down with your own or private money or hard money? Do you have a plan B in place, just in case?
We have a plan B, you know, kind of fluid with it, where to get the money, how to do it. But, you know, if all the wholesale buyers fall through, then we will take the house and explore our options, whether it looks like something we put as a rental or whether we want to just go ahead and put a sign out front.
Yep. So here's what I would like to see in the future moving forward. It's just you and the seller. We've got to be disclosing to the seller your intent. Your intent is to assign this contract. So we say, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, here's what we typically do. We give a $10 consideration. It's non-refundable. I'm going to go out. You know, where our company excels is we have a network of buyers. We're going to get this thing sold for you. I will most likely not be the buyer, the person I end up selling to it. They will pay me a finder's fee for it. So I just want you to understand the full intent that I most likely will not be the cash buyer in this case. And we get that with a $10 consideration. That's basically earnest money, but it just goes to the homeowner and not a title company. And we typically have a 21 to 30 day inspection period, which is almost right up to closing date, which means even if we had earnest money on the line, we still have an out almost right up to closing day. So you've got a different scenario here. And so what I'm saying is with the timing, especially with you going out of town, if you're going to give out $5,000 in earnest money, you've got to collect six, at least five, in case everything goes south and the end buyer can't perform. That's on them. You keep their $5,000. The seller in this transaction keeps yours, and you're even.
Yeah. If we were not, the hairbringer here is, and this deal is different than I would really want to do it, but yep. Us going out of town during that, I put myself up to it. But I could email you. Janie told me to email you a copy of the contract.
Uh-huh.
We have 60 days to close.
Okay.
From so we got 60 days, 10-day inspection period, and then we have access to the house to take measurements. We can't do any construction or anything. So during that time frame, the person that I'm letting handle the due diligence, he's
yep.
out shopping his ass off to make him some nickels.
Yep.
So you know,
I'm just saying, you have pretty good sized skin in the game here at $5,000.
Right.
Right. I'd like to see you at a couple hundred tops when you're working with a seller.
I'm usually at $10.
Yep.
So
that's what we do. A $10 consideration, and that way. Doesn't, you know, obviously you want to perform for the seller and you want to close the deal to make some money, but there's no monetary loss, a potential monetary loss here. So I like the 60 days. From the initial feedback, it sounds like somebody is going to buy this house, but until you have earnest money and paperwork in place, that's up in the air. You know, a lot of people can talk. They come to the table with $5,000 and now they're serious. That's how that works, and you know that.
Yeah. When they come to the table, we get the assignment money, I will,
yep.
you know, it's a gimme, I'll get my $5,000 back. That's absolutely. The rest
Here's
of
the thing,
fluid.
Though. It's got to close.
Yeah.
Right? If it doesn't, you guys are on the hook to buy this place, or you're out $5,000.
Well, that's what I said. My confidence level is up there with the numbers. I did, after talked on our last conference call, I have been looking through the Craigslist here in town, and I've got potential of 20 buyers. I buy houses. Of course, you know, how many's capable of doing that, that's a whole different thing. But there's lots of lists. Plus our own network. I have a network here in town. I have in Atlanta. This is different than what your system is. When we hit our Tampa area and start doing it, I can assure you it'll be a $10. It'll be closer, you know.
Yeah, tell
it'll be
me
a whole lot higher.
Why did you, if you normally go $10 with a seller, why'd you go $5,000 on this one? What was the circumstance?
The gut feel is because there is the owner is in assisted living. She's got MS. She has no children, nothing else. And this friend of hers that she's known over the last few years, quite a bit younger woman, has been taken care of. She's got power of attorney. And you know how power of attorneys, they're worried they're going to make a bad decision. And I had to keep them $5,000, kept them from putting it with a realtor. That was the only thing.
Okay.
If I could have thought,
can you get a longer inspection period to give you some time when you get back since you're not on vacation?
Well, the contract says on the last day, you know, we have the right to inspect it and make sure it is in the same shape that it was when we during the due diligence period. And of course, that's an open-ended, hey, I think this is leaking. I could hear the pipes doing. The wall seemed loose. There is a 100-out one.
Okay, that's a key piece to this story. So
I have an exit strategy.
And you're comfortable with it, or else you wouldn't be in these shoes. Now, I still have a question on, let's say I'm your buyer. I'm going to buy this thing from you from $150. I got to put $40 or $50 into it, and it sells at $220. This is still tight on a flip. So what is making this thing work?
Well,
if I'm borrowing money, or I'm paying an agent to sell it, I'm losing money on this deal.
What makes it work is our estimate of what it is, I think it's inflated. We had bathrooms at $8,000. They're going to get each bathroom in shape for $600.
So the fix-up is more like $25?
I think it can be done for $25.
Okay.
Well, I listed landscaping at $1,500. It just needs the grass cut and the hedges trimmed.
Okay. If that's realistic and I can buy it for $150, fix it up for 25. Obviously, that, you know, I can be out of there in 30 to 45 days, relist it, cost of money, right? I still have 50 grand to play with to pay an agent. You said 220. Hang on, run some quick math here. Because I'd have carrying costs, and then worst case, 220,000 times 6% to an agent is 13.2, but I have about 50 grand to work with. So then it's a little $25, $30,000 flip.
Yeah.
If that's the case. Okay.
That's what I looked at. If all fails, then where I would go into it with.
But right, because you would have
confident. I'm confident.
Cheaper, obviously.
You know,
okay.
I'm confident if I put a for sale sign in the front yard,
yep,
when I get back with my number on it, it'll put the pressure on the flipper to do it, because I guarantee I can get, you know, somebody's going to come for 160, 165.
Okay.
They know the neighborhood and everything. So,
and you have 60 days, so you have plenty of time, even with your
plenty
vacation.
Of time.
All right. Okay.
But I'm
okay with it.
Help.
I mean, you're comfortable.
I'm working on long
distance, and you know
I'm
going to
be
what's that?
Holler for help.
What's that? Say that again.
I said, when we reach our market, we pick Tampa, and I'm in Athens. That's when I'm going to listen closer, and really need your help to wade through those.
Yeah, listen close now. You can, you can give – here's the thing. People are going to read the situation. So their option is spend a bunch of money with the real estate agent or let me take this to our buyers and just tell people that with confidence, right? Now, you came out I'm gonna just go with that you did what had to be done with the $5,000 earnest money. I wasn't a part of it. I believe you. Moving forward – you don't have to give $5,000. You have the key to get them a better payday than if they list with an agent. So you're the one. Now they have the deal, but you're the one that has the better option for them to get it moved. So you don't have to. In every case, again, I wasn't a part of it. Maybe that's what this one had to have is $5,000 in earnest money from you going into it. But I'm just saying, don't sell short the value that we all bring to the table when talking to a seller. So you can do $10 consideration anywhere, because at the end of the day, it's up to the seller, just accepting it and saying, yeah, I'll go with that. I believe you. I think you can get it sold. So, yeah, it's not necessarily market specific. Now, it is, can be deal specific, right? If you have a listing agent involved, and there are still deals online today. We're not focused on them, obviously, but that changes the story, because they're going to say, hey, earnest money on this thing is $15,000 or $5,000 or whatever the case. And most often you're going to have to play by those rules. But when you go directly to the seller, it's whatever the two of you agree on. And this one, I get it. It had a little wrinkle in it where, you know, there's somebody else representing the seller, basically a friend or whoever it is that's helping them out. So I like your comfort level, though. You've told me multiple times that you feel good about this thing, so I believe you. Nice job. I mean, this is a little $6,500 in and out flip. I'm still going to recommend, though, as long as you have $5,000 out, get $5,000 or $5,500 in from your end buyer
quickly.
Hey, here's the caveat on this one. If they're going to close, it's a moot point, because in whatever the closing day is, they're going to wire the remaining 145. So it's pretty irrelevant. So yeah, I would collect earnest money to match. That's what we'd do. We'd round up. We'd probably add another $500 or $600 to it. So what Rob, what he taught me on day one is if we give out $1,500 in earnest money, we're collecting $25. And we do it every time. I mean, now is different, right, because he's not buying online. But that was back in 2008, 9, and 10 when that's all we did was buy online. And we always collected about $1,000 more in earnest money than we had out. And when we collected it from that end buyer, it was hard that day. We said, make your decision and then go submit earnest money to the title company because it's not coming back. We didn't say it in those words, but that's what the contract said. Earnest money's hard the second it's submitted. So, sound good?
Yeah, understand. Okay. Understand the feelings. Yeah, you know, I don't like my money floating uncollateralized. It, you know, that would make me nervous if this was another deal. And you know, as you say, every deal does different. Everybody else is listening on here. You know, try to decide: am I crazy? And
you're not crazy. No, you're not crazy. You've got a deal tied up. Here's what I would like to see. Here's the thing. They want 5,000 earnest money. I'll say I'll agree to that, but this is negotiation 101. If you're going to give something, you have to get something.
Right.
And you know, we would have come out and said, "I'll do 5 grand earnest money, but I want I want a full 60-day inspection period without this out at the end." Something like that. So if you're going to give, especially a big consideration like that, get something in return. And just that's negotiating 101. It's okay to give, just make sure you get something back.
That's the one thing that I didn't leverage on that.
Yep.
That I look back on this deal is the power of attorney does not want to turn the key loose. She said she would be available at every time that somebody needs to look at it during the due diligence and after the due diligence. Well, because I've convinced somebody be in there measuring, you know, ordering stuff and need to make sure it gets done right. And then I instructed the person that I've working with, Ethan, I said, you know, I told him those terms, and I said, and what you need to do is call her and worry the hell out of her because she's ready to get comfortable with you and give you a key. I said, you can let her dance.
Right. Yeah, this one has a couple little pieces that are a little bit unique. I'm still wondering about your long-term out, that the property's in similar condition, and if it was and you couldn't close and you said it's in different condition and worse day shows up and they want to sue you over it, can you prove it?
Yeah, there's, you know, the exit there. Most of our other contract, I use a simple contract. Next time I'll look at your contract. I haven't looked at them. Janie is supposed to pull them off and us look at it, but I have other contracts that the deal is contingent on getting loan money at 2% over prime, which don't happen.
Right. Yeah, I like the longer out. Obviously, you've got to have an out. Now, it sounds like A, you're going to get this property sold. B, even if you take it down, it's a good little flip. So, you know, simultaneously, get your plan B in place just in case. You know, worst day happens, you can still close, and it sounds like it's a solid little deal, you know, and get it turned. And so, yeah, just be ready for everything. Let's keep talking it through. So you guys, you're on a plane Thursday, so you won't be here on Thursday's call, I'm assuming.
No, we won't.
Okay. And then we won't hear from you until you're back, right?
All this kitchen stuff, the refrigerator stuff. Is, not
is that correct, Larry?
Yeah, probably okay. Not. Okay. I'll take the number, whatever.
Okay.
We're gonna cut our phones off airplane mode, and the only thing we'll be able to use our phones on is the Wi-Fi.
Yep.
And I'll just have to see you. I'll have your number with me, and if it's convenient, I'll be on the phone call.
Okay. And if there's a question that comes up, at least get an email out, or if you can jump on, let us know. Because, you know, you've got 2 months on this thing, but here's the deal. Obviously, don't wait 2 months. I mean, if you can, be really aggressive about this and get it. See if you can get it locked up before you go, because it sounds like the numbers work. So let's get this thing under contract. Let's get earnest money submitted. Even if somebody won't match your 5 grand, although I'm telling you, match the amount you have out of pocket at least. Try and get that short up before you leave, and that way you guys just go have fun. Don't even think about this thing. So.
Well, my person's going to shop it to three different people. He'll create the sense of urgency that I don't have to worry about.
Right. And well, and here's the deal. Who's? What do you mean your person?
The person that I'm allowing to do the due diligence.
Okay.
He's a real estate agent, but I've worked with him before. And so he actually to us when we first looked at the house, walked it through, and, you know, said, if I get it for $150,000, I can make some damn money. And so that was my keynote in my head when
so
I negotiated.
Gonna add, so this person's going to add their fee onto your price, onto your $150.
Yeah.
All right. Here's what I'm telling you. Don't leave your payday and your $5,000 earnest money in somebody else's hand. So if they're going to hustle it, you go hustle it too. First deal to the table wins. Lock this thing up before you go. You have 48 hours.
I will produce it. I'll know tomorrow because he was out working this evening. You know.
All right. You got to get on the phone with every buyer you know and find some new ones and tell the story of this thing and see if you can get it locked up. Sound good?
Cups on the counter.
All right. Larry, shoot me an email. When you get it under contract, send an email to the coaching center because it'll be probably the next couple of days. Let me know where it's at. Sound good?
Sound good.
All right, Captain. Make it happen. I know you will. Who else? Hey, somebody's having a conversation in the background. Hit star 6, please.
Hey, this is Larry. I can go next.
Whoever's having the conversation in the background, hit star 6 for us, please. Hey, Esther, is that you? I know it's Esther. I can tell her voice. Esther, hit star 6 for us, please. All right. Larry, I heard you. We're going from Larry to Larry.
Yeah. So before I start my piece, you were talking about consideration. So what I normally do is I normally do a promise as a consideration. So basically I say what their earnest money is going to be, and it's normally like 500 or 1,000 or something like that. But I post date it. Like I say whatever that amount is by so and so, which is equivalent to, you know, my due diligence if it was a standard contract, and then the balance at closing, and they normally go for that. And from what I understand, because I know what you're talking about, like they're starting to get more strict about some kind of consideration, not even just a consideration. They're starting to act like they want some reasonable consideration. But my period is so short and my amount is normal that by the time they get any money, I already know it's going to close unless they have a title issue, which also will entitle us to a refund. So
right.
So you have... Is there a problem with that?
Nope.
Okay.
At the end of the day, and this is one of those things where if two people agree to it, seller and buyer, then, you know, the seller of the house can do whatever they agree to do. It's their house.
Okay.
They can take or deny your offer and all the terms of it, right? That's why there's sometimes some back and forth. And, yeah, I agree with you on sometimes, you know, consideration is one of those things that the industry in general is starting to look at. And so we'll kind of see what unfolds and what evolves. Again, we're not attorneys.
Right.
As of right now, you know, I can just tell you that, you know, the way Rob operates is $10 in consideration, full disclosure. It's all through the coaching center. You have to disclose your intent. Tell them right up front. If you're going to buy the house, you can call yourself buyer. If your intent is not to buy the house, you're not buyer. And that's why it says right on the contract in the coaching center that in bold print, what does it say? You know, whatever, buyer's sole intent is to assign this contract.
Gotcha.
So just make sure you're telling people, and that's it. Don't, right, from our understanding, the issue has come in when the investor represented themselves one way and then performed or didn't perform as something else. And they're just calling themselves, I'm the buyer, I'm the buyer, I'm the buyer. Oh, no, I'm going to sign this thing. Oh, wait, it didn't close. And now somebody's frustrated. So just be upfront. Say it on multiple occasions. If you send the email like an update, like let's say I get a property under contract, you know, maybe a week ago and I want to send an update to the seller and say, hey, you know, as I told you in our original conversation, now you have it in writing as an email. I'm not going to be the buyer, but I am still looking, right? I just wanted to send you a quick update here after a week. I don't have a buyer yet, but I'm still looking. And I feel, you know, fairly confident that we can get this thing moved, but I don't have a buyer yet. I'm keeping you in the loop. And now you have something written instead of just, you know, you said they said, or you said they heard, which is even better. So it's just the landscape we live in. Full disclosure, communicate with your sellers what's going on, and don't represent yourself as something you're not. And then those two words, intent and capacity, what was your intent and was it disclosed? And do you have the capacity to perform based on your intent, which is if you call yourself buyer and you don't have either the money sitting in an account or a proof of funds letter with a hard money lender or private lender, then somebody can argue that, you know, you said you had the capacity to close, but you don't. And now we can, right now you can start getting into some issues. So full disclosure.
On my, this is Larry Potts again.
Yeah.
My contract section 5, seller hereby acknowledges and grants the purchaser the option to assign this contract. So you're saying
not right. Here's what the contract that Rob uses says that you can download from the coaching center. It not
okay.
only says that, but then in bold print it says purchaser's sole intent is to assign this contract in bold. So it goes even one step further. So
how does, you know, and again, how does the seller, what responses do you get out of that when the seller is looking at that? Are they on
sellers what?
To it?
When the seller's the
seller, how does the seller's reaction to that?
You're kind of breaking up, Larry. They reply just fine.
Okay. That's
really
what
is.
I was looking
yeah.
for. The more words,
Larry, you're cutting out really bad. I can't hear you. I can't hear what you're saying, Larry.
Okay. I'm agreeing with you. The more words that you put in that can cover your butt, the better it's.
Yeah, that's better. Yeah, just be straight with your intent. That's it. Fully disclose it. Put it on the contract. Say it. Talk about it. But yeah, we were, you know, sellers receive it great. Here are your two options. One, you're not going to sell this to a retail buyer. You have to go to a cash investor, which we have access to, right? Because the house is distressed or whatever the case. Another option, if the house is in decent shape, you're going to pay an agent to list it, and there's going to be probably a buyer's agent on the other side, and you're going to pay 6%. Or we can take this to our group of cash buyers, because that's what our company specializes in, is finding finding the cash buyers in the area. They'll pay us a finder's fee to bring them the deal, and, you know, we can get you a higher price for your property. Which do you choose? So, yeah, it gets received just fine. A lot of times they don't have another option. We were talking to a gal just today that we'll have a contract on hopefully tomorrow, but she doesn't have another option. The house is kind of beat up, a couple liens against it, taxes haven't been paid in 2 years, needs a roof. There isn't a retail buyer out there that's going to take it. Right, and it, you know, it's just not going to go. It's not going to go through a standard transaction. It's not going to happen. Has to be a cash deal. The property's a problem. She has no idea how to find cash buyers, any of that. So we'll come in and try and help out. So, yeah, just disclose it. If they're not good with it, you know, next. Now, if you have money behind you, and you maybe just want to buy it, you know, like a lot of what Rob does right now, here's where this, it's not different, but what Rob and Brad are doing is a turnkey business model. They close on it, they fix it up, they put a renter in it, then they sell it. In that case, Rob is the buyer. Call yourself buyer all day long. Go through your inspection period, but now Rob's team is inspecting it for them to purchase, and they are buyer. So just be congruent with what you're saying you are. That's all.
Okay.
Larry Allen, were you done? Or did you have something else?
I never started.
So
you did.
Oh no, I was just asking that one question. So you want to update?
Oh yeah, yeah.
All right, so I'm through module three. I have two bird dogs in El Paso that are gathering bacon house leads for me now. One guy is really really performing. He has like 40 leads in already, and he's doing some more today.
Nice.
The other lady, she just started today, and I have
okay.
several other people that want to get started. So I'm trying to tonight I'm going to decide what the capacity is for the people that are already on the ground so that I can – I don't want to delay this this 250 beyond this week if I can help it. So so I have that going. I'm going to get the skip trace out with the 40 that I already have. I'm going to hire the
yep.
skip tracer tonight
yep.
because I want to be on the phone on Wednesday.
Okay. And, Larry, I'll be honest with you, man. You're trying to set a new land speed record here. Going from orientation call to – the 250 lead skip tracing on the phone. So nice job. You know, group high five here. That's you came out of the gate swinging like you told me you were gonna. So that's good stuff. So here's the thing. Here's the thing with your bird dogs. Go to them and get a commitment from them and say, listen, this is the number of leads I need. That's what the business needs. Either you tell me that you can make that happen, or I've got to go hire somebody else and pay them along with you. You know, I want to give you first, I'm talking to you about this first because we're already working together and you're doing a great job. You tell me what to do. Are you going to knock this out for me? Or, you know, basically let them tell you, either commit to, I'll have X number of leads in by this day, or you will make them say, no, hire somebody else and turn down the money for them. But if you
gotcha.
Have somebody that's good, that's a great way to kind of cement your relationship with somebody that you really just met. And, you know, tell them, hey, here's what we need. Can you handle it by this date, or do we need somebody else? And we'll do the same thing with a skip tracer. We need X amount of leads done either right now or this week or weekly. Is that something you can handle? I'm coming to you first, or do I need to go hire somebody else? And let them either – commit to what you need, or tell you that you're going to have to pay somebody else. Most of the time, they'll commit to you. Not always, you know, depending on what they can do. But once you have that commitment, because you don't need 10 bird dogs,
right?
I mean, one person that's hungry can easily feed a salesperson in your market, right? Two tops. If you have two that are willing to go drive, you're good. If they can drive weekly. So, anyway, yeah, put that on the table and see if they can ramp it up for you, or if you need to go hire somebody else.
Understood. I am concerned about El Paso because the numbers show that it was right over oversupply, but and I'm seeing a lot of I'm not used to seeing this many, because my perspective is being skewed because I'm only seeing the vacant houses.
Yep.
So I don't know what to make of that, but I'm still fine with it because I'm gonna use El Paso to build out my team and get everything dialed in, process wise.
Yeah, you want to do that, but we got to make money along the way. So, here's the thing. There's activity there. When it comes to that P ratio, life will be a little bit easier if you're on the side of oversupply, or even a little outside the P ratio, than if you're if your P ratio is down towards the competitive side.
Okay.
So, yeah, you'd rather have
I'm more comfortable.
You'd rather have
I'm more
a little higher.
I got you. Because I'm more comfortable in the competitive space because that's my home space.
Right.
But I'm comfortable there because I literally know that anything that I find, I already know who my buyers are.
Here's what you have to do. Get skip tracer in place. Get
yep.
your bird dogs dialed so they're going to keep bringing them in, or find somebody else, and then keep cranking the modules, but you're going to start getting on the phone and talking to buyers, finding
okay.
buyers and talking to buyers.
Okay.
And you're going to start go right through the script and ask them questions. Property type, location, all that stuff. So you're going to know exactly where, you know, what people want down there, the people with cash. And you always have to be asking, how many are you looking for in the next 30 days? How many deals ideally are you trying to buy? Do you, you know, do you buy a deal or multiple deals monthly? You're really after 2 to 5 buyers who are looking for multiple monthly deals. But, you know, put everybody on the buyer's list, but find those players in town down there that are saying, you bring me something that works and I'll take it.
Okay.
Right. Like I'm on a guy's list. And he sent out an email, 5 days ago that said, we have $743,000 to spend this month in this market. So find those, because they're everywhere. Just a matter of finding them.
Gotcha.
Yep. And the modules will walk you through that, right? I mean, you can look up online. You can use FreedomSoft. Search the cash buyers in El Paso. Go back 3 years, and it's going to sort them from most properties bought to fewest. And at the top of that, there are going to be the, you know, 50 to a couple hundred houses in the last 3 years. You know, if they've bought 50, 60, 75 houses in the last 12 to 24 months, you know, those are your big buyers down there.
Like I was telling Larry, I really want to, I'm kind of pacing myself because I really, you know, my natural instinct is to start jumping all over the place and doing more places. But I will skip ahead verbally then. So as far as my home market here in Charlotte,
yep.
which is very
yep.
competitive, once I get everything dialed in with the places with the right P ratio, I'm still going to be able to come back, and even if it's like a high price market, strategy, come back and deal with my home market. I want to be able to come back and deal with my home market, even though I'm not going to do it primarily like I used to.
Right. Make it a side gig, 'cause it's going to be harder. Now, the thing about it is, couple differences. Rob, if he was going into a high price market, he prefers lower, but if he was going into a higher price market, direct mail would be his main lead source and vacants would be secondary.
Gotcha.
Right? Where if you're in a low price market, vacants first out of the gate for sure. Direct mail to add in the future, but focus on vacants until you have deals moving consistently on a monthly basis. So, yeah, because vacants are going to be fewer and farther between. Now, can you still have somebody drive for them? Absolutely. You may, if they have to drive farther and they can't find as many, you may have to pay them a little more per lead to make it attractive, but that's fine. We're still generating, you know, really inexpensive leads. Yeah, a couple adjustments, but the thing about a higher price market, you'll do fewer deals, but you'll typically be able to make more per deal. Whereas in a lower price market, the wholesale fees won't be quite as big, so you'll be able to do volume. So you can make money all over the place. That's the bottom line.
Okay.
We like to. Our preference is to see you go somewhere where it's easier, because you'll spend more money in a higher price market, and it'll take longer to get in the middle of transactions. It can still be done, but a little bit easier to get some transactions moving where the prices are cheaper. So
cool. That's why I'm here, because I'm trying to take my emotions out of it. My emotions want me to stick to what I know. And so I'm following the plan.
Follow the plan, because in the near future, you're just going to know more. So it'll all be in your comfort zone.
Okay.
So, yep. There's nothing wrong with, you know, the next 5 years, Larry, if you're having a mix. Have some inexpensive and have some higher price. And you may get to a point where you say, hey, I'm okay. I got to work a little harder in Charlotte, but, you know, let me implement some of the stuff you learned here and the systems and that kind of thing. And you just run with Charlotte. I'd say it's most likely you'll end up with a mix of markets. You'll have one to two that are cheaper and, you know, maybe one that's a little bit higher priced. And then you can just adjust volume accordingly. You know, how many are you trying to do a month, and what are you trying to make? And, you know, that's what's cool about this is some, you know, some people come into the group and they're like, you know, two deals a month and I'm good. Fantastic. Let's get there. Other people want to do 10, 20 plus, you know, whatever. Fantastic. But, you know, it can be, that's what's so cool about real estate. It can be really whatever you want to go build. That's why it's fun. Because, you know, there isn't a right or wrong. You can't tell somebody that says, you know, I want to make $6,000 a month. You can't tell them they're wrong. Just like somebody says, I want to make $100,000 a month. Well, can't tell them they're wrong either. It can be whatever. So, and everything in between. But yeah, let's focus. All right. Keep your focus on one market. The way I like to say it is let's go slow now to go fast for the rest of your career as an investor. Get everything dialed. Learn how it works, put the pieces in place, and then once you know how the system gets set up and launched and that kind of thing, it'll be a piece of cake for you to add additional markets. So just get it dialed the first time, and you'll be set.
I have a 7 o'clock meeting, so I'll drop off at that time, just letting you know.
Sounds good.
All right. Okay.
This is Larry Potts again. One last question. On these cheaper markets like Tampa, what on the wholesaling? What is the average, if there is an average margin, to expect on a house?
Yeah, 6 to 8.
6 to 8. Okay.
Yeah, if you can average 7,500, I think you'll be doing pretty good. But yeah, you'll have to move a couple where you can make, you know, a couple grand. You'll find some others in a lower price market that's just a home run, and you can make 10 to 15, 20 maybe. So if you're averaging kind of that 7,500 to 8,000 somewhere in there.
I remember initially the conversation was, you know, 3 to 5 and you'd be at 300,000 a year, which I kind of think pretty much so. You do three
yeah,
to five.
I think it's realistic to average more than that. You know, buy right, that kind of stuff. So when they bring out a deal home in-house, they mark it up $7,000. That's the stock. We're going to buy this thing, fix it up. And that's what they're calling average. They say, you know, our salespeople are going to pay it off $7,000. We're keeping it in-house. So about that seven number. And that's the thing is, I mean, that's fantastic, especially for the amount of time you have in a typical wholesale deal. I mean, if you divide that into hours, it's a heck of a business.
Right.
Now, some you're going to have to work hard. I don't know if Hal's on tonight, but he's had one that had a title issue that he's been trying to overcome for a while. That, you know, hopefully that's not the norm. He's got one here that's been tied up for an extra month and a half with a title company forgot to have the deed signed 2 transactions ago. So they're trying to track down the, you know, the second generation previous owner. So that's pretty rare though. You know, a lot of times they'll be fairly smooth. So who else?
I had one that had, this is the benefit of everybody, I had one that had a federal tax lien and some state tax lien, and my seller was able to get them forgiven or get them released because he was already in a payment plan, and that's a known process for the federal government, and he had to talk to somebody about it at the state level, at the county level. So I didn't know about that until then, but it delayed my closing for like 2 months. But he was able to get more, which allowed me to get the deal over somebody, because he started to raise the price, but because I was already in there with him, he didn't accept we were already in the contract, he couldn't accept, and he didn't accept the higher offers that came after me.
Whose idea was it to see if the liens would be forgiven, his or yours?
That was his idea. We were going to do something else to get him paid, but once the federal government got involved, they wanted all of the money. And and we had to get really creative on that.
Yeah, cool. Who else? Updates and questions. Somebody not named Larry. How about that? Just kidding. Just kidding. Yeah, I think we have three or four maybe. I'm going to get confused here in a minute. 3 or 4 Larrys.
Hi, Mike. It's Dahlia.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good.
Good. No, all I have is an update.
Okay.
I actually, you know, had a bird dog send me a few leads over the weekend, so that was great.
Yep.
But I'm just still having a hard time finding the right salesperson.
Yep.
I've been posting ads on Indeed and all of that, and I haven't had a lot of luck with the candidates that I have been getting.
Yeah.
A lot of them don't have, you know, that phone experience or that sales drive. So that's
yep.
what's been holding me back right now as of now. But other than that, I have the bird dog sending me some leads now, and that's the only component that I'm missing.
Cool. So let me give you a tip on that, because I just brought a new sales guy on Saturday. I had coffee with him, and we posted the ad on Thursday, I think.
Okay.
And he's really good. So here, write your sales ad, and I haven't I can't remember if you shared a sales ad with me, but you
yeah,
want
I
somebody you want I think I remember that. Here's what I did. You want somebody that's high D, okay?
Yeah.
Now I have a or I'll just tell you, it's a little bit of an advantage working with Rob all these years. Rob's high D. Rob wants to know what's going on and know the information to make a decision in as few words as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went to put this ad in, I was like, all right, I want to write an ad so that somebody who's not high D doesn't even want to read it because it leaves out too much information. And so I wrote an ad that was like 6 bullet points long. The title said something like, looking for a rock star phone salesperson. And then it went in and it said, what did I say? I can probably get a copy. I know I can. I can get a copy of it. But I just listed out high ticket items, real estate related sales, work from anywhere, flexible hours, basically ability to set your own pace and your own pay, lucrative compensation plan. I mean, I don't know if there are 40 words in this ad. And that's how I wanted it. And then
okay.
it said, what did I say? Oh, I put, don't send us your resume because we're not going to read it and we don't care. And then it just signed off. And it said, if you're not easy to work with, don't reply. If you're not a rock star, don't reply. If you, and then I said, if you're the opposite of those things, let's chat. All we need is your number and let's get on the phone. So here's the thing. I've had multiple people reply, but one guy called back he responded and he said, I'm the rock star you're looking for. Here's my number. Let's talk. And so I'm on the phone with this guy. He doesn't know anything. Right. And we've talked about this a lot on Office Hours. The higher D they are, the less detail you have to give them. They just say, give me a script, give me a list, and I'll figure it out. Because they don't, they just don't care. If you get, right, this is why you don't want to hire an accountant, a C or an S, because they're going to say, well, what if the seller says this? Well, what if
yeah.
I get into this situation, and what if, and what if, and what if? A high D will never ask you that. They don't care.
Right, and
so,
that's what I've been getting.
Okay, so you have to write the ad in as few words as possible, and somebody who's not a high D will hate your ad, and that's exactly what you want, because you don't want to talk to them. It's a waste of time. So,
okay.
So here's how this conversation went. I get him on the phone, and I said, hey, Chris, Mike calling you back about the rock star thing. I said, you're our guy, huh? And he goes, yeah, I think I am. You know, what's your background? Here's what I've been doing, blah, 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 blah. So we didn't have a very long conversation. And I said, we give everybody on our team a disc test. Have you ever taken one? DISC. And he goes, no. And I say, okay, go to freediscest.com. And he's like, oh, I have my computer up. I'll type it into Google. And I said, once you get there and I'm talking, and then the line goes quiet. And I was like, hey, did I lose you? Can you still hear me? He goes, yeah, I'm already filling out the disc test. And I was like, oh, this guy's perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like, I said, yeah, email me your results. He emailed them over in like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So write the ad based on the person you want to find. And I'm telling you, Rob wants the information, nothing else. And here's the thing about this guy, Chris. I meet him. I talk to him on Friday. We meet at Starbucks on Saturday morning, and I show him the script. It's right out of the coaching center, right?
Yeah, I have it.
And he goes, cool. When I plan to go. He just relocated here from Florida. He goes, I plan to go hiking this weekend, but I'll be on the phone tomorrow. And I was like, what questions do you have for me? And he goes, nothing yet. Let me get through a few phone calls, and I'm sure some will come up, but I'll just jump on the phone. So that's the high D. That's people who are wired for sales. They don't need you to dot hardly any I's and cross any T's. We don't even have – he's been on the phone for 2 days now. We have 5 or 6 appointments set, and we don't have our 1099 independent contractor agreement in place yet. So I got to get that to him tomorrow. He's just like, let's go. Game on.
So write
all that to say this. Write the ad in as few words as possible, and I just did bullet points. There is no small talk in the ad, and I got the guy or gal, in this case a guy, to reply that I was looking for.
Okay. So, my question to you is, are you posting for the salesperson here in Denver, or do I
post? I posted in Denver because that way we can go meet at Starbucks and do training.
Okay. Because I've been posting it in Houston.
Gotcha. Either can work. Either can work. Post it here local and see what happens, and put it in the sales section of Craigslist.
Okay. Yeah, because I've been putting it on Indeed and I've been paying for it. But I just haven't had the candidate. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Try it in the salesperson. Indeed and Craigslist work. This guy just happened to come off Craigslist, so. But you may have to go through a couple, right?
Yeah.
I got kind of lucky. It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes it does, but write your ad. Now, here's the thing. If you're going to hire I'm having a brain cramp. Somebody to oversee the closing. Why can't I think of this? Like a closing manager, transaction coordinator. That's going to be a non-salesy person who wants to know some of the details. And so your ad's going to have to be right. If I give 6 bullet points, they're going to say, holy cow, I have no idea what this position's even for. They won't even reply.
Hmm.
So you have to put yourself in the shoes of who you're looking for a little bit. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
post,
I'll go ahead
post
and
it here.
Post that ad tonight.
Cut out every word that's unnecessary. Make it as short as possible and see what happens.
Okay. I'll post it tonight.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Yep. Who else? Who else on a Monday?
Tom here.
Tom, what's happening?
It's probably nothing like these guys.
How come?
Oh, well, I've had to work, and then every time I do try to do something, it just doesn't work the way you're talking about. my sales guy's limping along. He's not doing a great job. Everybody else for the salespeople that I've called back after the first time, they don't call back. My skip tracer, I tried to get a different skip tracer because my skip trace numbers are all crap. Not all of them, but most of them. With Indeed.
What tool were they using?
Intellius. I found somebody with LexisNexis, and she's trying it, but it's taken like a week for her to understand exactly what I want her to do. And then when she sent me a screenshot saying she was into FreedomSoft, she's dealing with a guy in the same town as me with the same bird dog as me. Every time
Do you have leads to call?
I don't have any numbers that are decent. I mean, I'll get 15 numbers for an address, and I may get one. Every third or fourth address, you've called 8 or 10 numbers, and none of them are any good. So I'm getting a new person to reskip trace it with LexisNexis, and maybe I can get those going.
Yeah, Lexus is solid. And here's my guess with the salesperson. I mean, I can hear it in your voice now. I have, when I'm talking to him, I have energy, and it's very confident, our conversation, about where we're going, what we need, can you fill this position? And I know, you and I have talked about this before. They're reading you more than they're reading the job ad. So you have to, right, for most important sale you're going to make is you. This thing works. I mean, I had a guy on the phone before we even had any paperwork in place, and I just told him, here's how we pay. And he goes, great, I'll jump on the phone tomorrow, and we'll figure out the details later. So you have to, and I don't want to say fake it until you make it, right? Just be confident in the system. Here's where we're going. Here's how it works. It's a proven system. And he had some questions about it. And we're just like, you know what? We're working a system that a guy who's a nationally known trainer has been doing for 2 decades. It works all day, every day. So you don't have to have your own experience. You can just lean on, you call. I mean, Tom, you've been really consistent. You jump on the calls, and there are stories out there just from this group, right? Lean on the group. And this is just part of it. You've got to be confident when you're talking about this thing because they're reading you. They're reading your nonverbals. And so everything you've done so far, you've learned. It's never a loss. But you have got to talk about this business like it's going somewhere and be 100% confident in it. And they're going to read just like you do when you talk to anybody else about anything. There's what's being said, and then there's what you're hearing. And if there's any mix-up in those two messages, somebody's automatically going to be hesitant.
Well, yeah.
Same with bird dogs. I get them on the phone, and I just go straight to the point, and this is what we need. Can you provide it? Every conversation. So if salespeople are coming and going or whatever, you've got to talk about it like this is the greatest thing that they just called on, and I believe it is. I mean, where else can you – I mean, I put this Chris guy on the phone. Anybody who can do phone sales can crush these leads, anybody. He calls me up, and he goes – this is after he shoots me a text on Sunday. I talk to him Friday. We have coffee Saturday morning. He's on the phone Sunday. I do French toast every morning, either Saturday or Sunday with our kids. I'm firing up French toast, and he shoots me a text. He goes, these are some of the easiest calls I've ever made. I have 2 appointments set. So this is like a dream come true for a salesperson to be able to talk to vacant homeowners who likely have a problem. Not all of them do, but there's a high likelihood that they have an issue with the property. We bring a real solution to the table, and he can average. You know, he asked me, what should I expect to average a week in commissionable sales? And I was like, our goal is 17 grand. And he goes, great. And after his first 90 minutes on the phone, he said, I want to do 20 a week. He bumped the number up based on – and I'm not doing – this. These are the leads that all of you have and know how to generate. There is nothing different. But, Tom, what I'll tell you is I had a conversation with that guy, and he understood that we were serious, this was legit, let's rock and roll. And that's how I presented it. So you've got to talk about
maybe,
this
maybe
confidently.
Maybe it's because I've been in this thing for how long, and I've gotten nowhere, and a lot of that's me. But still, I came off with this guy pretty good. I mean, he's pretty psyched about it, but he's just not finding.
How many calls has he made? You know?
I don't know.
We got to get to the bottom of that first. Ask him. How many calls have you made? How many leads? If you can't see it in FreedomSoft.
I can see it. I just –
And Intellius should be – I mean, Rob's still using Intellius.
Intellius has been largely useless, not just for me, but I'm sharing it with somebody else, and he's not finding any decent numbers with it either. So
Are they researching, is your VA skip tracing off the property address or the mailing address? Do you know?
I don't know.
If they are using the property address, you're not going to get good numbers. They have to skip trace off the mailing address. Or you will a lot of times be looking up a name of somebody who doesn't live there. They don't even live in that city.
So when they skip trace,
and you've got to know the answer to that question, because we talk about it a lot. There's a
Freedomsoft.
There are two addresses. There's one at the top of the page on the lead details page. That's the vacant property, and then you go down to the owner of record section, and it shows the owner's name and it shows their tax mailing address. The VA
does
nothing with the address at the top of the screen.
Okay. So maybe that's it. So, but to get the owner's address, you have to skip trace the property to get that address first.
No, to get the phone number. No, the address comes out of public records, and FreedomSoft goes and finds it for you. You click the blue Find Owner button. You're not skip tracing for address. You're skip tracing for phone numbers using the address.
Wait a minute. I think I'm missing something major here. So somebody comes in and they use whatever that app is. They take a photo and it says, "Hey, check out this address," and it's a vacant house.
Yep.
How do you plug that into FreedomSoft for them to find the owner?
There's a blue button in FreedomSoft that says Find Owner. You save that address to the top of the page, the property address. So let's say the bird dog drove by 123 Main Street. That looks vacant. Snapped a photo, emailed it in. And now the lead has nothing at the top. Well, it has the bird dog's name and FreedomSoft. You have to scroll down the page to the notes section. And in the notes, it says subject 123 Main Street.
Right.
That address gets copied, and then you take it up to the very top of the page. It says click to edit address. You paste it, type in the city and state, right? Type in the city, select the state from the dropdown. And as soon as you save it, now the blue Find Owner button is there. You click Find Owner. FreedomSoft will go into public records, and most of the time it only brings back one record. And you say, that's the one. Click on it, and it'll populate that data into the owner of record, and it'll show you the owner's name and the tax mailing address from county records, and that's what you skip trace. Joe Smith and that address, the VA they never skip trace off the address up top, the subject property. The subject house is vacant.
So who does that?
I have the VA do it. They just copy it to the top. Click Find the Owner, and then they know what to skip trace.
You don't have any kind of, like, little video on that, do you? Or some kind of written thing that you just told me? If you don't, I'll figure it out and write it down myself, but I was just wondering if you had one. That's huge. I missed something really huge for months here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Always, always, always off. And that's why, we didn't always have the find owner button in FreedomSoft. So then it was Skip Tracer just opens up the county records website, right,
find
in
the
video.
Owner.
And I'll have to tell you which video it is in there.
Yeah,
but yeah, this
do.
Is, I mean, this process hasn't changed. So, yeah, super key piece. They're probably skip tracing off just a name, which is a total.
Yeah, that's a huge piece, and I'm not the only one who missed it because Paul missed it too. We're sharing Intellius.
I'll share something. What I did is I recorded a video of exactly how to, like, that would show the VA exactly how to click on the Find Owner button and then look for the address, And then I just sent the video to the VA so that he knew exactly what to do. And that
did you do that? Did you do that with Jing or something?
Yeah. Mhm.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because I've been going back and forth trying to tell her what I want to do, and she doesn't seem to get it. So I need to do a video, then she'll know. Because she knows how to use Freedom Soft, but somehow she does not get what I'm saying. But
yes, that's.
Let me see if I have a video that I can just send over, because I shot one for. I recorded one too, just to throw to a VA real quick, off the cuff.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure I posted it on Vimeo. So if that's the case, I'll just fire you the link. But, yeah, that's the process. It used to
be. That's huge.
Let's talk and figure out how that was missed, because that's always been the process. It used to be you had to go to county records, and then you would type in the address. And then you would find the owner of record and the tax mailing address in county records, and you would just copy and paste it back into FreedomSoft. Now FreedomSoft does it, as of a few months ago.
Yeah, that's a fundamental, hugely fundamental thing that I missed for months.
Yep.
Yeah.
And what
okay.
you do is, have you logged into your Intellius account and ever tried to look up a number?
Yeah.
Okay. So what you do is, you put in the name, and then you put in their city and state. I mean, that's how you look somebody up. And the city and state that you put in has to be off the mailing address, not the property address. You're not trying to find the vacant house, and nobody lives there. It's vacant.
Right.
So you have to go off the mailing address.
Well, that would explain 200 leads with no useful numbers. Okay, excellent.
That is a major tool. Old school, I would go to houses that are boarded up and have to knock on the neighbors' houses up and down the street to try to find out who it is, and most of them didn't want to talk. And so chasing that down before the records were online, that's huge.
Yeah, when we brought this, we made a data provider switch, one of our big data providers in FreedomSoft. And when we rolled that over, Rob added in that owner of record button. So it's a blue button. You have to have an address on your lead, right? There has to be an address tied to it. If there's no address on the lead, the find owner button doesn't even show up because there's nothing to find the owner on. But as soon as you save an address, which is the property address, then click find owner and it just does it. And it's instant. Totally slick.
Yeah.
So it's all right there.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, that'll help.
Oh, absolutely. Get your salesperson fired up. And if they're not, find somebody else that is. Because there are people looking.
Well, yeah.
This is a cool gig. It is. It's fun to help people that legitimately have a problem. It's fun to make good money, and these are high ticket items. I mean, we're talking about 7 to 20. I mean, you get moving, and you'll all do a $20,000 wholesale deal. It'll just happen. You're in this long enough. Some of you will, you can't. It's not like you can predict when they're going to happen, but big deals are going to cross your table. Salespeople are on that all day long, and these are simple conversations. I mean, when you just follow that script, they really are. And here's what's cool. Real estate is trendy right now, and a lot of people want in, and they go to some kind of seminar, weekend seminar, webinar, whatever, and it's all direct mail, direct mail, direct mail, direct mail. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he said, I'm getting 10 postcards a week on my rentals. So everybody knows how to buy a list. So here's what's different.
I get about five a week.
Right,
yeah.
Right. It doesn't take long. You don't even look at them anymore. You're numb to them. People in your markets are no different. They're numb to the direct mail. And then we call in with a phone call, and a good salesperson connects with them asks them a couple questions, builds some rapport, tells them why we're in this business, says, hey, we might be able to help. And it blows past the postcards. They're numb to them. And we come in with a different method. And not everybody, but a decent number are receptive to the call. It's just a different method in a, you know, the more people send postcards, the better our phone call looks. Because we actually call up and put a human on the other end of the line and, you know, and tell them that, hey, you know, here's how we help people out. Is that something you're interested in? Does it come across salesy? Can we help? This is what our company does. We help people that need to, you know, that need to get rid of property. And we help you do it, right? Put the most money you can in your pocket. We're not real estate agents. Here's how we operate. And it's like a breath of fresh air. Like this lady from today. I mean, she's texting us back saying, hey, I'm at the doctor's office, but I can call you in an hour. I mean, she's at the doctor's office shooting us a text that says, yeah, you know, basically, yes, I need to sell, and I'll talk to you here, and I'll call you as soon as I get out. And then we got a phone call back when she was driving home. Because we're not another postcard, and it works. So, Tom, I'm glad you chimed in.
Yeah, me too.
Yep.
Very key. Yep.
Got to have good data.
Well, I know I'm going to need one, maybe two deals max, and then I will be on my voice will be on fire. But so far, it's
hey,
been
here's the thing:
roadblock after roadblock.
Fake that until you make it. Imagine how sweet it's going to be.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's blow this barrier down. Be confident; it works. Have some energy. People, you know what? People are drawn to energy, period. So it doesn't matter what mood you're in. If you're in a bad mood, do not call bird dogs, salespeople, anybody back. Don't, because that's all they're going to hear. If you have to, postpone the phone call. Go whatever gets you fired up or whatever. If you have to jump on a call like this, and hear some stories and get some motivation and that kind of thing, then call back when you're in the right frame of mind. If you don't, you'll kill the lead every time, every single time. So everybody has off days. Some days we're more confident than others. Some days, whatever, things are going sideways. Everything's coming unglued. Right, right. We all go through it. That's called life. So I'm just telling you, if you're there, do not call anybody back, bird dog, VA, doesn't matter, because that's going to come through. So go out. My mom used, this is funny, growing up, she would call it an attitude adjustment, right, an AA. She would go out for, you know, she's like, I'm having a tough day, I need an AA, and she'd go out for a long walk, take the dogs or do something, you know, just go get away from it all for a while and then come back and, you know, those things work. So call people when you're in a good frame of mind. Because people want to be a part of things that are exciting and moving. And this is, when this business starts popping, there's energy to it. And people want to join that. That's what you got to convey.
Right.
So.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. Groundbreaking revelation here tonight.
Mike, this is Larry Potts again.
Hey, Larry. Yeah.
After 40 years in the sales business, what I'm hearing you say is just reinforced again. And people lose sight of that we're in the people business, not just property business.
That's it.
Leading the people into it. And companies I owned, I told everybody, when you come in the door, have a good attitude. I won't dump on you if I had a bad day. Don't dump on me. Leave it at home. And if you can't leave it at home, get out of here for a while.
Yeah, you're just going to burn leads.
Yeah, you're going to burn them up. And, you know, in the car business, I had a car dealer that I used to work for said that every time somebody drove on the lot, that was $70 of his money. Go out there and make it happen. Don't just pass them by and look at them. And as we're in this business, that's our money. Don't burn the lead.
That's right. Yeah, and you guys have paid to generate the leads, so you got to expect that out of your salesperson. Hey, man, you know, I tell Chris, you're having a sideways day. go, you know, go up to the hills. Go blow off some steam. I go to the golf course and hit a bucket of balls, and that'll reset most things. That's just mine. That's my method, right? Put my headphones on, go hit some golf balls, get my mind right, and then I can come back and usually be productive if I, you know, even if my day is pretty sideways. So that's how I do it. But everybody has something, whatever it is. And so that's just part of it. But you have to do it. Make sure your salespeople are doing it. Because the thing about it, a salesperson, I don't care when Chris is on the phone. We just care that he's effective. So if he has to take some time and do whatever, you know, so be it. But, yeah, that's it, Larry. You got to, you know, when you're going to recruit somebody to do sales for your company, they're going to follow energy. That's what you got to convey. So get fired up. And I know, you know, I get a lot of feedback from you all, usually through an email or something after this call or the following day. But a lot of times this is what does it, right? Plug into the group and hear where people are at. And, hey, I'm not alone in this thing. And, you know, when somebody wins, we all win. When somebody's struggling, we'll work through it. But we go through this as a group, even though you feel like you're on an island. So if this is what you need to do to reset your frame of mind, that's fantastic. Jump on here. Either get with somebody after the call based on their time zone or, you know, maintain this through the night and call them in the morning when your belief is at its highest. So, because it works. The system works. I'll say this too. If anybody is starting to think, hey, what's going on? Why isn't this working? Why aren't we getting numbers? Bring that stuff to the table. Let's talk it out. Because a lot of times we have to, like we just did with Tom, for those of you who are listening, we have to talk through the exact process that's being done. Right? There's no such thing as communication that lands at 100% with 100% accuracy. So we try and make the coaching center as clear as possible and that kind of thing. But that said, right, there isn't such thing as perfect communication. So if at any time you think, wait a minute, this isn't the result that I'm hearing it's supposed to get, we have to get it on the table. So, Tom, great call. You know, you got to bring it up. We just have to go back and look at the process and see is something going sideways here.
Yeah, I got this new VA for skip tracing. I'm just going to tell her to hold off for a minute until I actually got the correct procedure for her.
Okay.
She has LexisNexis, so, and I heard that was better. So
she'll kill it with the right procedure.
All right.
You'll be just fine. Yep. Even with Intellia.
Okay.
Intellius works. Lexus is better, but Intellius works.
Well, this VA is cheaper than the other one, too, so it's even better.
Cool. Yep. Beautiful. Beautiful. Tell your salesperson, hey, crossed up with the VA. Let me get some numbers in your hands. You'll knock this thing out of the park. Because we see it time and time and time again, right? You get a phone salesperson. Somebody that likes to make calls, likes the phone sales thing, you get them on the phone with good numbers like this, with proper numbers, and they'll have conversations, set appointments, and you'll start making offers. We see it every time. Who else? Got about 10 minutes here. We get everybody covered.
I'm covered. Of course, I've got too much always to say on the sales end of it.
Yeah.
But I always hired salesmen, and I would train them, and if they sell, making money.
Hey, we're losing you.
Yeah.
We want to hear what you're about to say. You're cutting out.
Okay. When I had my salespeople,
yeah,
use it as my before businesses. The best thing about being a salesperson is, yeah, you make good money if you do it right. But there's a satisfaction knowing that you talk to a stranger and you make them do your will.
through your way that you do that, suddenly you turn them around and they're thinking they're leading you, but you're selling them something. They're on board. And,
right.
you know, that it's a great feeling to understand that I have been able to do this through communication.
I'll tell you what, there's an energy to it.
Yeah.
There's an energy that is addictive to salespeople when they have a good call, when they get on the phone. They love it, right? It's like they're right. It's almost like they're looking for the next bump. And I know that's a drug use analogy, but it is. They're chasing that next phone call. That there's some adrenaline tied to it. They love it to get in the game. And like Chris said, you know, he had made a couple calls. He had set up 3 appointments in his first hour on the phone, and he stops and I'm talking to him on the phone, and he goes, it just hit me. We're really going to be able to help some people out doing this, aren't we? I was like, absolutely. That's the goal. I told him, take your sales hat off and put your helper hat on. And it's still phone sales, but see if we can't find a solution for that person on the other end of the line. We don't have to sell them a thing. Let's just plug them into our network and what we know how to do and help solve their problem.
Yeah.
And he was like, man, I get it. And this is after the first 60 minutes when he's on the phone. So there's an energy to it. Now, I got to tell you all this story, because one of the first houses Rob bought, he helped a lady. She was probably mid to late 70s. And I can't remember how he generated the lead, but they got on the phone and, you know, he was going through a similar script. Would you be interested in selling your house? Yeah. Well, you know, what would you take for it? Have you thought about it? And she goes, you know what? I've owed somebody like $7,000 for, she goes, I don't know how many years. I don't remember if it was a family member or what the deal was. She goes, if I could just pay them off, I would sleep so much better at night. And Rob said, let me run some math, see if I can make that work for you. And he called her back. You know, $7,000 was a smoking price. He said, I tell you what, I think I can even get you a little extra. Pay off whoever, put a couple $1,000 in your pocket, and we'll go turn this thing. Rob got her under contract, wholesaled it. He made a nice check. That lady was so thankful that until the day she died, she wrote him a card at Christmas that said, hey, the first couple showed up as thank yous, and then she sent him a Christmas card every year until she passed away and they quit showing up. So that, I mean, we really sit in that kind of a spot. And not everybody's there, but you're going to talk to people that have legitimate issues and they can't figure out how to fix it, and it's keeping them up at night and it's driving them nuts. And they can't sleep and they're stressed out, and we can come in with a real solution for them. So that's what we do, which is cool. And we can get paid for it. And we can get paid really well for it, which is a fun thing. So
that's important.
Anyway,
to pay for it, for solving their problems. Absolutely.
That's right. That's right. And when we bring value to the marketplace like that, we deserve to get paid for it, because we are solving real problems. And that's how the world works. The bigger problems you solve, the more you can get paid. And that's right. That's called work. You know, if you can solve the problem of put cans on the bottom and bread on top, it's a little problem, and society will pay you, you know, a minimum wage to do it. If you can solve, you know, for Coca-Cola Corporation, how to grow and expand business worldwide, internationally, in, you know, hundreds and hundreds of languages and on every continent, if you can solve problems of that size, they'll pay you $50 million a year. So we get the opportunity in real estate to solve good-sized problems and then get rewarding accordingly, get rewarded accordingly. So it's cool business, no doubt. Hey, let's Larry, I love the input on the sales side. That's what this is about, right? One plus one is more than two. When we bring our minds together. So absolutely, we want to clear out questions, but that's why you got to be on these calls, because you know, you all bring something to the table as well, and it comes out in this format. So that's why we do it. So anyway, great stuff, everybody. Tom, if Tom or anybody else has any specific questions on that, let me know, right? Because when you get a good salesperson calling leads with good data, it's game on. So, Tom, any other further questions, let me know. I'll see what I can track down. and get it your way.
Okay.
And,
yeah, thanks.
Yep. Obviously, anything else, just, you know, just like always, email it in. We want, you know, as short a time as possible between questions and answers. Keep your feet on the gas. Make it happen. Great group. Good call. And chat with everybody Thursday. Hey, Larry Potts,
right, thanks.
Send me an email when that sucker's under contract. You have 48 hours.
I'll work them to see how the world goes. I'm getting my
– right.
I have right. retired 10 years ago, said I didn't want to be in sales anymore. I wanted to grow rutabagas. And now I'm back into it.
Make it happen.
Pumping. The adrenaline's just pumping.
Make it happen. Yeah, it's a fun business, no doubt. All right, everybody, have a good afternoon or evening, wherever you're at, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks a lot. See you later.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Thank you, Brenda. Thank you, Brenda. Thank you, Brenda. Just got off of another webinar. Thank you.